KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207AP, Sumner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and there's a surprising lack of clown sightings on Monday, man.
Yeah, I didn't even see kids dress up as clowns.
It's probably because they figured everybody would be looking for them, and so they just went into hiding.
Excuse me, I saw like 3 clowns on my bus ride over.
Well, we don't count.
No, not you guys.
Bus ride over where, though?
Something on my leg. To dance class.
Fun!
Yeah, I saw like at least 3. One was just standing on the side of the highway, waving.
Okay, did it try to lure you into the forest, or what?
I was on a bus. If it came down to it, I was just gonna like grab the wheel and run him over.
You know what would have been even creepier is if he had a sign that said free candy while he was sitting there doing the creepy wave.
That
would have been awesome.
Why did you bring up the forest? Maybe he came out of the woods. Out of the woods. Out of the woods.
Anyways, for more things that don't make sense, make sure you tune in every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to The Buzz.
Yep.
Start bright and early, 6 a.m. We got an awesome show for you this morning. We got the return of the word of the week.
Yay.
We got Fact or Fiction Celebrity Edition with H. Quinn. We got your WTF stories. We got news every hour on the half hour. And we got your geeky news coming at 6:20. Let's do some all-time low. 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we're in the beginning of our fall pledge drive. So if you want to donate, help keep the station on the airwaves, you can get cool stuff like our $10 KGRG fan pack. It includes a KGRG FM and KGRG 1 sticker pack and a KGRG FM patch. It's, you know, 10 bucks. You probably get that. You get the, what, lunch?
Yeah.
Like, easy. Sometimes you go to fast food and, like, you spend, what, 12 bucks sometimes. So.
Well, I don't even do that. Like, Burger King's got this thing going with the nuggets. The 10 nuggets for $1.49.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get 20 of those for like $3. It's awesome.
I get $5 sometimes for my mom. Shout out to my mom. It's totally awesome. Driving me here, listening to me do radio stuff. But sometimes she'll give me $5 for lunch.
And yeah, shoot us $10. We'll give you some stuff back. We'll keep the station on their webs. But it's time for your geeky news.
Help our wrestling action figures find some work. They will wrestle for pledges.
But it's time for your geeky news, and it's actually the beginning of the month. It's November 2nd. You know what that means. We are a list of Netflix expirations and new releases.
Still bad, are they bringing Doctor Who back?
They better.
Good luck with that.
Then I don't care.
So, stuff that expired yesterday was Chuck, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Legally Blonde, Legally Blonde 2, Powerpuff Girls, Addams Family, and The Holiday, the Queen Latifah movie, that one. November 5th, we're losing Farscape, season all 4 seasons. November 11th, we're losing Quartet. We're also losing Box Trolls and Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors. November 24th, we're losing Courage the Cowardly Dog, seasons 1 through 4.
I never finished Farscape. Like, I started that when I was living in the barracks in the Army.
Okay.
And I never finished it.
Never could get into it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's not Star Trek. Like, it tries too hard to be Star Trek. It's not Star Trek.
But I want to see Box Trolls.
You better watch it quick, then.
But I don't have Netflix.
That sucks.
There's a free trial.
I should do that.
New stuff that's coming in. Yesterday, we got Cujo. The 1983 movie about the same thing that goes crazy.
Oh, God. No.
I was thinking the new Cujo thingy that everyone's been raving about.
Nope, the 1983 one.
Based off of the Stephen King novel of the same name.
November 4th, we're getting The Crown, which is a new series based off of Queen Elizabeth.
Yes!
We're getting Just Friends. November 16th, we're getting The 100 Season 3. We're also getting Paddington Bear movie from 2014.
Ooh, Paddington! That's
so
my childhood!
So far, none of these have really...
November 25th, we're getting Boyhood and Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life. And then November 30th, this is a surprising one. We're getting the 2016 The Jungle Book.
Okay.
The live action one that just
came
out.
Okay, I'm down for that. I'm good.
I thought
it was
a little soon.
Hey, you know what? I'll take it. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard it's amazing. I can't wait.
I forgot. Did we talk about that before I left?
Maybe.
On the movie previews?
Oh, speaking of also geeky news, I got something to chime in for you. They're starting to release photos, like set photos, from the live action Beauty and the Beast.
Yes!
Well, it is pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. Next news story I got for you. Android users can now cast some spells using their phones.
What?
I saw that.
That's right. Google announced on its blog Tuesday that As a way to celebrate and promote the upcoming Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them movie, it's included some spells inside Android phones. No update necessary.
Really?
What are you squealing about? You have a flip phone.
I don't care. I want to see the movie.
Do you know what an Android phone is?
Yes, and I know someone who has one, and so I'm going to steal their phone and play with it.
So, for example, if you say OK Google followed by Lumos, the spell used to light up the wand or the tip of a wand, it'll activate your phone's flashlight. Now, if you say Nox, it'll turn it off. Saying Silencio, a silencing charm used to render people mute, isn't exactly that powerful, but it can silence your ringer and notifications.
Nice.
Right?
Hmm.
So, I've never actually used the voice activation on my phone.
Me neither.
Like, it always just comes across as like...
The only time I've
what?
Ever... The only
You're
time
selling
I've,
chocolate!
Chocolate!
Yeah, the only time I've ever used my voice on activation on the phone is when I go, okay, Google, you know, and tell it where I want, what I'm looking for.
Well, that's what you do. You do, okay, Google, and then you say the name of the spell, and it'll do the thing. Supposedly. We'll test it out. We'll do a video. We'll see.
Okay, because you guys just said that, my phone came on.
Really?
It actually did that for a commercial the other day, too. It did one of those OK Google commercials. It's like, my phone's like, OK, listening. I'm like, no!
Next news story I got, a Deadpool director making the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
No.
Yeah, Deadpool director Tim Miller is not returning the sequel, but he is going to do a live action. It's going to be live action and CG Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Oh, yeah, because they don't have hedgehogs that can spin.
I was going to say he's basically going to be what they're doing with the Lion King, right?
Yeah.
Very similar, too.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's going to be more along... Like, it's going to be in the same vein as, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's, like, a little bit of everything there.
Closer to probably... Or Scooby-Doo, the way they do Scooby-Doo.
But he's going to be joining Blur Studio collaborator Jeff Fowler, who is the film director, and the team will join producer Neil H. Morris and writers Patrick Casey and Josh Miller. Tim Miller will be serving as the movie's executive producer. So,
cool.
At least he's finding work. And because he's on the movie now, I'm sort of excited to where it goes.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be a little bit more adult. Who knows?
Not too adult. We don't need a rated R
Sonic.
You know, Sonic.
Of course you do.
No, don't rule 34 this, please.
And then
please.
Last news story I got, and this is a big one. I sort of got through the other ones pretty quick because I wanted to spend a little bit of time on this one. Night of the Living Dead director George Romero thinks that Brad Pitt killed his zombie franchise.
Well, what? Yeah.
As the director of Night of the Living Dead, the film that paved the way for zombie genre's rise to prominence, George A. Romero knows a thing or two about The Walking Dead. He's also man behind the original Dawn of the Dead, Land of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, and Survival of the Dead. The Hollywood Reporter caught up with him as he prepares to release a Blu-ray of the original Night of the Living Dead this weekend.
Ooh, nice.
And he pointed a finger at the very popular AMC show and one particular A-list star as the reason for its downfall, and I got the full quote here.
Uh-oh.
I've sort of dropped out of it. The dead are everywhere these days. I think really Brad Pitt killed it. The Walking Dead and Brad Pitt just sort of killed it all.
Yep.
The remake of The Dawn of the Dead made money. I think pretty big money. Then Zombieland made money. And then all of a sudden, along comes Brad Pitt, and he spends $400 million or whatever the hell to do World War Z. Matt Brooks is a friend of mine, and I thought the film was not all that representative of what the book and the zombies were. I don't know. Ants crawling over the wall in Israel. Army ants.
Okay, here
you might as well make The Naked Jungle. As far as I'm concerned, I'm content to wait until some sort of zombies die off. My films, I've tried to put out a message into them. It's not all about the gore. It's not all about the horror element that's in them. It's more about the message for me. That's what it is, and I'm using this platform to be able to show my feelings on what I think. So he also blames Walking Dead, which is interesting, because Walking Dead, they're on season 7, which means they came out... They started in 2009, which was when I was back in high school, and this really kicked off the zombie craze.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The Walking Dead comic book came out in 2003,
mm-hmm.
you know, and zombies have been, they've been popular for a long time, but they've exploded recently, and there's a market for it. Like, I don't know how he's saying that they've killed it, because there is a huge market for zombie craze. I was working at a comic book store. I had all kinds of people come in looking for zombie stories, and they had people like who look normal like me to the typical, you know, emo goth person who's into it. You know, it's like you've got all kinds of people that like zombies. I had a 16-year-old kid come in once looking for non-superhero stories to read for a road trip. I gave him I handed him The Walking Dead. He was back in the next day before they'd even left looking for more volumes. I mean,
it's definitely the end of a trend, though. I think that with this season, Walking Dead definitely jumped the shark, and I think that's what George Romero is getting at. But the Brad thing, the Brad Pitt thing in particular, really struck a chord with me because not only does that movie got awful, but like he says in the quote, Matt Brooks's book was significantly more different than what the movie actually was.
Oh, that's what I've heard too.
And the thing is though, when it comes to books and movies, you got to try to find a way to tell a story. So it's unfortunate because I love the book. I love Max Brooks. I think it's fantastic, but. He had so much in that book. Good luck trying to fit that into a 2.5-hour movie.
Yep.
Make it a series. It would have been better that way.
Yep. Yeah, make it into a series, right?
Okay. It'd be a great series.
Earth calling movie people, all right? If you have a book that is around 300 pages and not much happens, don't split it into two separate movies, please.
Why not? Everyone complains about they didn't put this part in the movie. They didn't put this part in the movie.
I know.
That's your fix. Two movies.
But when so little happens in the last book, no.
That was your geeky news for this morning. We'll be back with your news, your regular news, after NoFX Filthy Phil Philanthropist. If you're going to go see their show tomorrow night in Seattle, let us know. Tag us in any of your Instagram pictures, Facebook pictures, Twitter pictures, at the BuzzKJRG, or even just do at KJRG. Let us know.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is sponsored by the Jet City Comic Show, returning to the Tacoma Convention Center November 5th through 6th. For tickets and guest announcements, you can visit jetcitycomicshow.com.
You just made the list!
If you want to make the list for that, you can listen tomorrow.
Yeah.
You got one last 2-day pass. That's it. No mas.
Yeah, my package tomorrow, it's gonna have some really fun stuff in it.
Yeah, Dave's package always has fun stuff in it. That's why you want to get your hands on it.
Ha.
All right.
Let's go and get in your news. First news story is a little sad.
Aw.
Allergy risk prompts an Oreo recall.
Wait, what?
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 Yeah, for all you Oreo cookie fans out there.
Uh-huh.
The company banned Oreo brand cookies announced that the recall of two snack varieties on Friday after the company failed to list a possible allergen in the cookie ingredients.
Which varieties?
Mondelez Global LLC is recalling its original and mint-flavored Oreo fudge creams because it failed to note milk in their ingredients.
No.
The company said that the recall was out of an abundance of caution, although Mondelez said one person has had an allergic reaction because of mislabeled cookies. Consumers may be informed about the potential presence of milk by an allergen advisory statement already included in the label. People who have an allergy or severity in the milk run the risk of serious or life-threatening allergic reactions if they consume this product, the company said. The cookies are sold nationwide, and the recalled products are the 11.3-ounce packages of original variety Oreo fudge creams with UPC number 044000026943 and the same size Oreo fudge creams with a very similar UPC. Well, so if you have either of those are now officially recalled. Have fun.
Well, to be fair, they should recall the mints because mint.
Okay,
mints aren't bad, man. I eat the thin mint cookies.
Yeah, but that's
I'm not trying to be insensitive here or anything, but anybody who's eating Oreos should know there's milk product in that.
Marketing Oreos as vegan for the longest time, and they just recently started putting milk in them. Last I checked, before they used to use a milk substitute that was vegan.
Yeah. Oh, do you think they should use the milk label for like the apple pie McDonald's things? Like
yeah, they should, because a lot of people have life-threatening allergies, and if it doesn't say it on the ingredients list,
they'll
be
like,
oh, cool, I can eat this.
Well, they shouldn't, because it doesn't have milk in it.
Okay, that actually makes sense now, though, because I completely forgot that they were vegan for a long time.
Yeah, they were vegan, and now they're not.
Because going back to the Army, we had a guy in my platoon who was vegan, and he came in munching on Oreos one day. Somebody looks at him and goes, why are you eating that? And he goes, because they're vegan and delicious. I was like, okay.
Next news story, we got a patient's fart sparks fire that burns her during surgery.
Well, there goes one of my WTF stories.
A woman's flatulence is being blamed for a fire that caused a significant burns to her body, a Tokyo newspaper reports. An article by the Ashai Simbun states that the fire happened at the Tokyo Medical University Hospital on April 15th as a patient in her 30s had produced with a laser to her cervix. Yikes.
I kind of thought this would have been a Florida story, honestly.
Officials said it was a laser that ignited her passed gas and burned her waist and legs. A committee of independent experts found no flammable materials were in the operation room at the time, according to a report released last Friday. It also stated the equipment used during the operation was functioning as normal.
You know, I mean, lighting farts is fun when you're conscious.
Yep.
Lighting farts, apparently...
That's unfortunate, though.
Yeah, it is.
Last news story I got. A candy thief steals a Kit Kat from a car and leaves an apology note.
I saw that. That's amazing.
The note reads, "Saw Kit Kat in your cup holder. I love Kit Kats, so I checked your door, and it was unlocked. Did not take anything other than the Kit Kat. I am sorry and hungry."
I actually wouldn't be sorry.
The Twitter post from the person who got their car broken into says, "Left my car for maybe 15 minutes in front of the dorms, and I come back to this. College, man."
Well, first, their car really didn't get broken into because they left it unlocked. But how funny! But it would have been hilarious if they posted on like Twitter or Facebook about how their Kit Kat got stolen and said, like, "Come on, man, give me a break."
No, it would have been more funny if the door was locked and he came back out to find the guy just like pawing over his car, like going, "Kit Kat!"
What's funny is the story actually ended up reaching Kit Kat's official Twitter page, which they actually replied, "Who steals someone's Kit Kat? Who does that? Here's a DM and we'll replace it for you." So that guy's getting a free Kit Kat bar from the Kit Kat company.
Aww. That's great for him.
Right?
If you go to the advising office today, they're still giving out free candy, so I'm going to hit them up and get Kit Kats.
Nice.
And then Dave?
Yep.
You got sports?
Yeah, I do. A couple big things happened yesterday. We'll start local. So the first college football playoff rankings came out yesterday, and everyone was expecting it to just follow the AP poll. It kind of did. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Clemson. Number three, Michigan. Number five, Washington.
Now, how relevant is that? Because, like, the season just started, right?
Well, they're halfway through.
Yeah, they're about to start hitting
the home stretch here.
The home stretch with the postseason.
And with these AP playoffs, just a little explanation, they're like 80 billion different cup like playoff things at the postseason, right?
Bowl games.
Yeah, bowl games, but they don't matter except for, like, three games.
So this is all based off of just some committee. It's not based off a record like the NFL or anything like that, right?
So they basically took the BCS formula, which nobody can explain, not even the BCS creator, and they put it in a college football playoff format of some sort, and a committee decides who's worthy enough of being in the top four, which is the four that go to the playoffs.
So literally the whole reason why they tried to get away from the BCS, they are now going back to that.
Yep.
And it's a crock.
So Texas A&M got number four. Now, a lot of people have a problem with this because Texas A&M has lost a game. They're 7-1. UW is 8-0. The whole strength of schedule thing is in play here, I guess, because Washington hasn't had very good non-conference opponents. They play Rutgers, I think Portland State.
Well, they beat Oregon, who they literally haven't beaten years.
Cal beat Oregon.
Colorado beat Oregon.
Colorado's ranked, though, but Cal beat Oregon.
Yeah. Still, though, they broke a streak. That's going to be
they
good
did.
For something.
You'd think so, but no. So there's a lot of different scenarios that are in play here. There's a lot of overranked teams, in my opinion, as opposed to Washington being underranked. But it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out the next couple weeks. Yeah, like I said, Texas A&M is ranked 7th in both the other polls. I don't know why they got slingshotted up to 4th. I really don't.
They really need to just expand the playoff.
Yeah.
4 is not enough.
And one last sports story, Game 7. I love Game 7s for the World Series tonight. Who you got, Cork?
See, I want to see Bill Murray cry. Like,
Do you want to see Bill
happy
Murray cry?
Happy tears, though. Okay. Happy tears. Like, I want the Cubs to win.
Let's be honest. Either way, Bill Murray's going to cry.
That's true. Did you see him singing the Take Me Out to the Ball Game as Daffy Duck in Game 3?
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing.
Take me out to the ball. Like, no, that's not Daffy Duck.
No.
He deserves all the wins possible, man. I love that guy.
But if they do come back, they'll be the first team since 1985 to come back from a 3-1 deficit in the World Series when the Royals did it. And little fun fact, 1997 was the last time there was two ties in the NFL season. Indians lost the game in seven games.
Well, just that, you have, like, the Indians making all of those, like,
Warriors jokes.
Blew a 3-1 lead. Yikes. Yeah.
The same, what's about to happen to Cleveland is exactly what benefited Cleveland during basketball.
Hey, you still got the Browns who are 0-8. Hey.
That was your news for this morning. We got your news, next news break coming up at 7:30.
With
at
H. Quinn.
6:50, we got Celebrity Fact or Fiction. Woo. After Punks at a Disco Bar, 89.9 KJRG, you listen to the buzz.
I'm not at a disco bar.
Yes, it is that time again. The time where I bring to you facts, fictitious statements. This is a segment on The Buzz where it's your job to tell me if I'm lying or if I'm telling the truth, which is rare. Fact or Fiction on The Buzz right now.
Hey everyone, it's H. Quinn here today with your Celebrity Fact or Fiction, and we're going to find out some wild facts and fictions about one celebrity each time I do this, so roughly once a week. And today's celebrity is Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Not Wolfgang von Kolb?
No, maybe next week. All right.
I still can't figure out why they named that movie Amadeus.
I don't know, but they did.
Because Amadeus of the Week? I don't know.
Amadeus.
Hey, it is kind of a cool name, though.
Yeah. All right, so, number one.
Yep.
Mozart began composing music before he could read or write. Fact or fiction?
That seems like a fact.
Yeah, it's...
Fact. It's 2016. Yeah, I still know people who can't read.
It's true.
All right, you guys would be correct. Yay. Mozart began composing music at age 5. He could not read or write, and his first composition was published when he was 6, earning him a name in the artistic community.
Well, during his time of living, too, wasn't like reading and writing meant for like the kings and the squires and the rich folk?
Yeah, just like Dragon.
Yep.
He was
just like
part
Dragon.
Of the upper class, so he would have been learning to read and write, but he had such a talent, I guess. I don't know. And you thought you were impressive when you were 5.
No.
All right, number 2. Mozart composed his first opera when he was 15. Fact or fiction?
I'll say fact.
I'm going to go fiction because opera.
Opera's awesome, man. You ever been to the opera?
I'm going to base all of my answers off of the Simpsons episode, which was also based off of a movie that was factually incorrect. So I'm going to go fact.
All right.
Bart, although Bart was like, what, 9, 10?
Something like that, yeah.
All right. That is a fact.
Oh.
This opera was published in 1770 under the title, something I can't pronounce, but let's try anyway, Mitridatriponto.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with that.
This is
sounds like something the monks would chat in the church.
This is an opera that took place in 3 acts, and when you read the plot, it's quite similar to Romeo and Juliet. It features a love triangle, and one of the main characters commits suicide at the end.
So Romeo and Juliet.
Basically. Number 3. Beethoven was a tutor to Mozart. Fact or fiction?
Fiction.
Fiction.
You would be right.
But Court didn't get to guess.
Oh,
I would be right anyways. She said I would be right, so
yeah.
She called it.
Sorry.
All
right, wow. That is fiction. However, Beethoven and Mozart did meet, but Mozart was the tutor and gave Beethoven 2 weeks of music lessons.
I feel like them meeting would be like Iron Man and Captain. I'm feeling there's going to be a team Mozart, team Beethoven.
Something like that. All right.
Well, Beethoven died rich. Mozart didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Beethoven would be Tony Stark. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Number 3. 4. I meant 4. Mozart married and had 12 children, all of which survived infancy, but only 6 made it to adulthood. Fact or fiction?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, for that time, that's... Actually, no, I'm going to go fiction because
yeah,
that's
fiction
too high of odds.
I was thinking...
You saying more kids?
No, I'm saying that more died.
Yeah, I'm going fiction on that one, too.
See, I almost want to go, like, 18 kids and counting on this and say fiction and say he had, like, 30 kids. But we'll go fiction it. Or we'll go fact.
Well, this is actually fiction.
Yay!
Beethoven married Constance Weber in 1782, and they had 6 children. However, only 3 survived infancy and 1 grew to adulthood.
Poor Mozart. Only 6 kids, huh?
Only 6, yeah.
Well, that's a good thing he couldn't hear.
That was Beethoven.
Yep.
Same difference.
No, Mozart couldn't see.
No, actually.
Do, 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 do.
Mozart had a little sister that was deaf and blind, and he composed several works in her honor. Fact or fiction?
Was her name Helen?
Wow.
I'm going to go fiction because that just... That'd be cruel.
I'm going to go fact.
Plus, like, Lisa wasn't blind and deaf in that movie.
What? Tommy?
We are horrible people, Tommy. You should know this by now. Mm.
This is, like,
This is a tough one, though.
Yeah, this one is kind of tough. Neener, 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 you can hear, see this. Neener, neener, neener.
All right.
Mozart is not Bart.
I'll say fact.
Fact? All right. Has everyone answered?
Yeah, yes. I said fact, and I think me and Tommy are on the fact train.
I said fiction.
Fiction!
Yes!
Maria Anna Wahlberg Ignana Mozart.
Wait, Wahlberg?
Yep. Wahlberga, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Nicknamed Nonnerl, was Mozart's little sister, and is actually now considered more talented than Mozart himself. She was not deaf or blind, and she composed her first work by the time she was 4. But she did not receive training or recognition as a musician because she was a girl. However, her and Mozart did remain great friends until her death in 1829.
Well, I don't know, man. The Simpsons says otherwise.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for Celebrity Fact or Fiction, and I will see you all next week.
Or, you know, at 7:30.
Yeah.
Or at 7:30.
That because news.
Oh, yeah, that. All right. Bye, guys.
We're going to learn words next.
Bye.
You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG 89.9 FM. Without further ado, I bring you the word of the week.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
Waking Things Pretend on 89.9 KGRG FM. They're local homies. If you want to help support local music, support a local radio station, donate to our fall pledge drive where you can get cool stuff like our $25 tea pack. Doesn't include tea, but it includes a KGRG FM and KGRG 1 sticker pack, a KGRG FM patch, and a KGRG FM listener t-shirt. So you can't get like raspberry tea or black tea or oolong or whatever. But
that might be something we need to look into for the spring.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
By the way, we're going all in on David Pumpkins.
Woo! I do have questions I'm questioning right now, Dave. But
tea, Earl Grey.
Time for your word of the week. Man, this is going to take us... This is one that hits home for me. Cinematard.
Oh, it wasn't the one you showed me?
No, God, no.
What?
Cinematard is one who completely lacks movie knowledge. Example, Heather says, "Hey, Greta, want to see that new Tom Hanks movie, Mission Difficult 2?
So Darth Vader was Luke's...
second cousin?
No, I was thinking mother, right?
No, I was going to say, I said second cousin, because there was an episode of Johnny Bravo where he was doing virtual reality.
Nice.
And he was in a Luke and Vader situation, and he's like, "You killed my second cousin." No.
Well, the reason this one hits home for me is, Dave, I'm going to take in the way back machine. Remember when we did that S-Words podcasting you can find on KGRG.com? When we looked over those like Rogue One trailers, and I said, "Hey, look, it's Discount Martin Lawrence."
Yeah.
Because I didn't know the name of the guy.
Yeah, do you still not know the name of him?
I still don't know the name of the guy.
Forrest Whitaker?
All I know is he's like Martin Lawrence, except he does the big eye face all the time.
Okay, that would be Forrest Whitaker. So, and that's a natural thing, so boo on you. And he is a far better actor than Martin Lawrence.
He's not wrong.
Discount- was he in Bad Boys 1 or 2?
No, Martin Lawrence is a
don't
discount.
Matter.
Martin Lawrence is a discount Forrest Whitaker.
And then I can tell you, like, Tommy Lee Jones, I can tell you Will Smith was in Men in Black, but I can't tell you the name of the director, dude.
And we have
that's
a phone
probably
call.
A very angry phone call right now. I'm trying to think of what else. Like, I know that Tony Stark is played by Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
I can't name either of the War Machines. He's not
available. Really?
That would be Terrence Howard and, hold on, Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
I couldn't name either of them.
Can you name Captain Planet from the Captain Planet live action thing that they did?
I can't do that.
It was Don Cheadle.
That was awesome, too. That was hilarious.
I also can't name, every now and then I can't name Hawkeye. Like, I'm just blanking on Hawkeye's name right now.
Jeremy Renner?
Yeah.
There you go. Quinn's freaking out.
Oh, no, Quinn is freaking out. And she's dancing now. She's doing interpretive dance.
We will get back to you later, Quinn.
That's what she does.
But, Forrest. Like...
On the line. Oh,
Forrest is on the line.
We have a pancake on the line.
Yes. That's what I tried to tell you guys.
We have a... Hi, pancake.
What?
Hold on. Hello.
You're sounding like a scary monster.
Fivest, how's it going?
Fivest!
It's going good. Why are you so scary?
Oh, yeah, she hasn't heard from this end, has she?
No, she hasn't. She's also 18 now. Happy birthday, dude.
Happy birthday, Pancake.
Pancake?
This is the Pancake?
Because you're a Pancake. You left the show to be a Pancake.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Are you getting a birthday Pancake, Pancake?
Can I just... It's funny that I work at IHOP. I get enough pancakes anyway.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's some place nearby that does, like, birthday breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
With a sweet, refreshing Coca-Cola afterwards.
So, dude, why are you calling?
No, Dave. Dave, no. No.
What are you doing calling in so early?
Because I'm getting ready for school, and I was, like, on social media stuff, and then I was like, it's Wednesday. It is buzz time. I will bother them.
Well, good for you. Everyone misses you here.
We do.
Yeah.
So, I miss you all, too.
Fivest, do you have problems with movies?
Movies?
With movies. I can't name any actors from any movies. Any movie.
Are you a cinematard?
Oh, God.
That's the word of the day.
What's her name? The one girl who has trouble showing emotions?
Kristen Stewart?
Yeah. So Fivest is in the same boat as me. Good to know.
She's pretty, but, like, I want to, like, poke her face because she always has the same expression.
Look at me. I'm so happy. Look at me, a vampire and a wolf are fighting over me.
And she's always sticking out her underbite to look so emo.
She sticks out her underbite? I never noticed that.
Yeah, she does. It's really annoying.
Stalker alert.
I don't really watch Kristen Stewart movies. I've never seen any Twilight movies, so.
I've heard that American Alpha thing was supposed to be pretty good.
American Ultra was
great. Ultra, yeah.
I liked her in, what was it, Snow White and the Huntsman or whatever. But, like, at the same time, I wanted to poke her face every 5 seconds.
But, like, do you know movies well, or is it just, like, a Kristen Stewart thing with you?
I think it's just a Kristen Stewart thing.
See, I'm a movie buff. Corey's over here naming, so I don't know who plays this guy, and I just rattle off the
name. He doesn't know Don Cheadle.
He doesn't know anybody.
Don Cheadle is, like, one of the best parts in the Ocean's movies, by the way.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Can you name anybody in the Ocean's movie, the original, not the reboot that's coming up?
Wait, you're not...
George Clooney.
Yeah, you did one! You did it.
Technically, the original is Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr.
I meant the last remake, not the one that's about to be remade. Ocean's 8 or whatever they're calling it.
You sound happy.
So, Fivest, when are you skipping school to come back?
What? When am I what?
When are you skipping school to come back?
Okay.
You're 18. You can come back.
What was the ooh for there, Pancake?
Ooh?
I like that's taken off all of a sudden.
I don't know how I feel about the pancake thing. It's like a weird nickname. I feel like it's like an exotic dancer's name. I believe they call themselves entertainers.
Entertainers.
If you come back with the syrup, here's Pancake.
If you come back to the buzz.
And here comes Pancake coming onto the floor.
I don't want my pancakes on the floor.
No. You should definitely come back to the buzz and party with us. Have a pancake party.
That's a perfect name for a morning show.
Pancakes
in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, this went off the rails fast.
Staff and we'll make pancakes.
Yes, come on.
No, we tried that
one
time.
We did that once.
You did?
It was waffles and it didn't.
No, we also did the pancakes during Thanksgiving week last year. You can catch that on demand at KGRG.com.
That's a plug right there.
On SoundCloud at KGRG.
All right, so, Cork, any other actors you're struggling with?
I can help you out, bro. Got you.
Let's see who else I can come up with.
The guy off that thing with the other guy?
By the way, Brad Pitt and Matt Damon are both in the Ocean's movies.
Well, so is Cedric the Entertainer.
No, he's not.
That's Bernie Mac.
Wow.
They're both entertaining.
Well, Bernie Mac also died.
Yeah.
Cedric's still alive.
Jeez.
You're horrible with this.
I'm blanking on the bug-eyed guy from... I should say the bug-eyed guy and you should come up with it.
Little Women?
Well, there's a few of them.
No, the bug-eyed guy from The Big Lebowski.
I was messing with you.
That's a tough one, right?
Steve Buscemi.
We just watched that, like, last year at
yeah,
work.
That would be Steve Buscemi, the guy who wouldn't quit talking. John Goodman kept telling him to shut the hell up. Yeah, that's Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi.
Who was also in Con Air and many, many other movies.
Armageddon.
Yep, he was the guy that rode the nuke on the asteroid.
Fargo. I can't name anybody from National Treasure besides Nicolas Cage.
National
Treasure, the hot blonde chick.
John Voight.
Yeah, John Voight.
John freaking Voight.
Not Nicolas Cage.
Not Nicolas Cage. Well,
despite all my rage, I am not Nicolas Cage.
Harvey Keitel. Harvey Keitel was the FBI agent.
He's like in my room. True, get out of my room. My brother's scared me. He has a freaky mask on.
Is it a clown?
No.
No, he's like a tiger.
Oh. He has a scary tiger mask?
Rar.
Yeah, it's like a white tiger mask, and when he talks, it moves, and it's really freaky.
Good for
him. Wow.
Andrea Riseborough was in National Treasure.
Who dat?
The blonde one.
I feel like you Googled that.
I did.
She did. The only three names that are really well known in National Treasure are Nicolas Cage, Harvey Keitel, and John Voight. That's it.
I was going to say.
And the Declaration of Independence, the most important part of that movie.
It was.
Yeah, that's true.
Freedom.
Yeah.
Because.
Now, can you name any who's in the second movie? There's another actor, another big name actor they threw in the second movie.
Was it?
Let me Google this.
Tom Hanks?
It was not Tom Hanks.
What's funny is, like, I can also name. I know who Sean Connery is, but besides, like, Con Air and The Rock.
Wait, what?
He was not in Con Air. He was on The Rock.
He was on The Rock.
I can't name another Sean. Well, no.
James
Helen
Bond.
Helen Mirren.
Dragonheart.
He was the dragon.
Helen Mirren.
He was James freaking Bond.
He was not Helen Mirren.
No, isn't that the other big name actress, Helen Mirren?
Sean Connery did not play Helen Mirren.
No. She was talking about, I forgot about Helen Mirren. She was in National Treasure, too. I was thinking of Ed Harris.
Or Justin Bartha or Diane Kruger or John Voight or
Ed
Harris.
Do you
still
have America playing in the background?
Of course.
Promise, we're going to keep you on the line, but we're going to play a song real quick. That was your word of the week. Cinematard slash...
That's Corey.
Crash by time. We'll be back. 89.9 KHRG. You listen to The Buzz.
One of these three contestants still hasn't changed the calendar to November. Tommy, Quinn, or Cork.
And now it's time to play everyone's new favorite game show, Buzz It! With your host, Dave!
I forgot your name for a second. I'm sorry, Quinn. Wow.
I'm still waiting for somebody to wake me up because of the September, man.
I am so hurt.
That is the oldest joke in the world. Like, I'm so over that joke. The wake me up when September ends thing.
What's worse, though? The wake me up or it's going to be May?
I don't know that one, so.
Then really?
Like, yeah.
It's going to be May.
Yeah, this is April. It's going to be May. Yeah.
And When September Ends is such a depressing song.
Oh, it is.
It is so incredibly depressing.
Still one of my favorites, though. But
it's great, but it's depressing.
It is time for Buzz It Trivia. Tomorrow, we have a package for you. And it doesn't have cowbell in it, though. Started talking like Christopher Walken there for a second. But we're going to be sending you to Jet City Comic Show. We got a little surprise, too, for you tomorrow.
The only Christopher Walken movie I can name is Joe Dirt.
But that's not a Christopher Walken movie. That's a David Spade movie with Christopher Walken in it. Dude, you gotta get on Netflix, man, and just start.
It won't help.
Like The Prophecy, that's like one of the freakiest performances from Christopher Walken
ever.
Oh, it is. It's amazing.
Let's do trivia.
Yep. Yes.
God, I love that movie, man.
You know what, Cork, just for that?
You just made the list!
You know what you need to do now, Dave? Next week when I'm here? Do a movie trivia and see how well Cork does.
Only actors.
Just movie trivia, and let's see how he does.
You know what?
I think we'll win.
You know what I'm going to do with that?
Lock it in, man! Yeah.
We'll see if Corbin's around.
Yes! Oh my god, that would be a game. That would be a game. But let's get to this game. Question number one.
Dun-dun.
What player won the NBA MVP award in
Cork?
Cork?
Player one.
Did you finish the question, please?
In 2012 and 2013.
Tommy.
Quinn.
Tommy.
Stephen Curry.
Quinn.
Quinn.
LeBron James?
I'm proud of you.
I knew back
to
back.
Too?
I should have. As soon as I said Stephen Curry, I was like, oh, crap, it's LeBron.
Yep. Question number two. What is the largest city in Brazil?
Quinn. Rio de Janeiro.
Does anybody else know another city in Brazil?
Quinn.
Besides Quinn, because you answered.
I don't know. Nope.
Nothing. Cork, nothing.
Cork?
Cork.
Does Carnival just sort of become its own city?
You would think so.
Quinn.
It's
capital of Brazil.
That is Rio de Janeiro, so no.
Wait, no, not that.
I have a multiple choice. What is the largest city in Brazil? Is it Rio de Janeiro, Sao Paulo,
or Cork? It's Sao Paulo.
It is Sao Paulo.
Duh. Like, I knew it was something Pablo.
Well, no, wait, it's no, racist, that's Pedro, not Pablo. Never mind.
Question number three. In Romeo and Juliet, what family did Romeo belong to?
Quinn. Oh, Capulets. No,
Tommy.
No,
Tommy.
Montague.
There you go.
I know this.
1-1-1, question number four. What was the original name for St. Paul, Minnesota before it became the capital?
Oh, God.
Cork.
Paul Blart.
Quinn. Meth Capital, USA.
That's my hometown. You joke, but the meth.
You're from Grants Pass, Oregon?
No, Bullhead City, Arizona. A meth lab blows up every other day down there.
Same with Grants Pass. My uncle's truck got stolen in Grants Pass.
Tommy, you got a guess?
No, I don't.
All right, you got multiple choice. What was the original name for St. Paul, Minnesota before it became the capital? Was it Mississippi, Pig's Eye, Red Wing, or St. Anthony?
Cork. We're going Pig's Eye.
You're going right then.
Wow. Wow.
2-1-1.
I got your Pig's Eye, got your scrimp.
2-1-1, question number five. What NASA missions were the first to send Americans into space?
Cork. Apollo 11.
Quinn.
Sputnik.
That was Russia.
That's Russia.
Oh.
And Tommy. Sputnik was a satellite.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Tommy, I guess.
Yeah, it's the Apollo missions.
It was not.
Cork. Apollo 12?
I just said it was not, and you said Apollo 12.
All right, let's just do multiple choice.
Multiple choice. What NASA missions were the first to send Americans into space? Was it Apollo, Saturn, Helios, or
Cork? Tommy.
Cork?
Helios.
Tommy?
Could you finish the question?
You buzzed in.
Well, I thought it was Helios, so...
Nope. Dang it, buttons. Apollo, Saturn, Helios, or Mercury?
Tommy? Mercury.
It was Mercury missions.
I call shenanigans because Quinn didn't guess.
But I already done a multiple choice.
She didn't guess during the multiple choice.
2-2-1, question number six. Quick on your buzzers. What team was Brett Favre...
Tommy? Falcons.
Originally drafted. He was a Falcon for about a year before they traded him to the Packers.
That's exactly what it was.
Question number seven. 3-2-1. Tommy just took the lead. What do you call a group of hyenas?
Quinn? It's not a pack? No, it's not a pack. Oh.
Tommy? Herd?
No, it's not a herd.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Cork, you guess?
I'll know when I hear it. I need a multiple choice.
What do you call a group of hyenas? Is it charm, cackle, pack, or party?
Quinn.
Tommy. Quinn?
Cackle.
It is a cackle.
Yep.
Yes.
I was wanting to say it's a giggle, but it's not a giggle.
It's a cackle of hyena.
Yep.
Interesting. That would have been that was my guess too. Like if she didn't get it, if you didn't give it to her, I was gonna get it. So
nice.
Either way.
3-2-2. Question number eight. What ocean allegedly is the home of the Bermuda
Triangle? Quinn.
Quinn.
The Atlantic.
The Bermuda Triangle. Allegedly. 3-3-2. Question.
Well, it's not allegedly. It's kind of where the Bermuda Triangle is.
True.
In the Atlantic.
Question number nine. What state was Davy Crockett a congressman for?
Cork. Tennessee.
I am very proud of you right now. Wow. You have no idea how proud I am.
Dave's the only 10 I see.
Crockett. I was hoping, you'd say where did he die, because I knew that one. I would not have guessed Tennessee.
Yep.
I knew he died in Texas, though.
3-3-3, though. That's the important thing right now. Question number 10. For all the marbles, what is the element symbol for arsenic?
Cork?
Cork.
AR?
Quinn?
Quinn.
QU. No, there's some wacky ones
I
on
know.
There.
Tommy, I guess?
Nope.
Give me 5 seconds anyway.
Nope.
Multiple choice. Multiple choice.
I would hope not, since that's our poison. But what is the element symbol for arsenic? Is it A-N, A-R, A-S?
Cork.
Cork?
A-N.
Oh. Or A-E.
Tommy.
Tommy?
A-E.
Quinn.
Quinn.
A-S.
I won! Right?
I did win, right?
Yes, you won.
Yes,
like, literally, that was a tie game going into the final question. Yep. That's awesome.
That doesn't happen very often, but Quinn, you get a victory speech.
I would like to thank my dad for making me take chemistry and making me learn the periodic table.
This
like
is
to,
our first one, right?
I'd like to... No, it's my second. I'd like to thank my horrible chemistry teacher for pushing me till I thought I was going to die and still trying to fail me in the class. And I would like to thank my cat.
I'd like to give a quick shout out to South Pablo.
And I'd like to give a shout out to my mom and to my boy, who's also really good at chemistry, and to my dad, who's wonderful, and my cats, and the termite I think I found in the wall, and Trevor the mouse.
This is the longest victory speech ever.
Can we just start the song now?
We should.
And Trevor the mouse, and the real Trevors, and everyone at the radio station.
I think she means Travis.
And go to sleep. this is Quinn's house, and this is my house by Paris right here on KGRG-FM. You are listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is sponsored by the Jet City Comic Show, featuring guests such as actor Roger Cross from FX's The Strain and Deadpool artist Pete Woods. For the full list of guests and tickets, you can visit JetCityComicShow.com.
Yes!
All right, well, we're going to start off with a really, really sad story. Yet another child has been hospitalized with a possible case of a very, very, very rare mystery illness. 9 children have now been admitted to a hospital. It's this illness called acute flaccid myelitis, so we're going to call it that. It puzzles doctors in Washington State and it's possibly responsible for the death of one boy. It is said that 2 of the 9 children have been positively confirmed with the rare virus, and 7 other children are being evaluated. Over the weekend, a 6-year-old died, and his parents said he was sent to the hospital with cold symptoms and dizziness, but paralysis struck and he never recovered. AFM affects the nervous system, specifically your spinal cord, and symptoms include sudden weakness in one or more arms or legs, along with a loss of muscle tone and decreased or absent reflexes.
Well, this sounds a lot like polio.
Yeah, it is, but the polio mainly affects your lower body before it spreads to your upper body. This just hits all at once.
Weird, so you don't get the weird FDR blanket phase.
Oh, yeah. All right, sticking with our trend of illnesses because, well, everyone's getting sick. 2 tuberculosis cases have been reported at UW-Tacoma, and more than 230 people may have been exposed. Scary, right? The first case was in Pierce County in April, and then that patient was referred to health officials for further investigation. Both cases are low-risk exposure, but the health department said an abundance of but the health department is taking... I don't know how to speak today. They're going to contact... Yep. They're going to contact the 238 people who are mostly students who may have been exposed. So if you're contacted, they're asking you to come into, obviously, UW-Tacoma, and they will accommodate affected students who can't get to testing clinics, and your results, you will be... testing will be provided on campus Sunday, November... Sunday and Monday, November 7th and 8th. And... with results expected Tuesday and Wednesday, November 9th and 10th, and they can work with you if you can't make it. And finally, with a little bit of a happy story, it's kind of weird, but a bear is going to be a guest of honor at a couple's wedding.
Why? Do they have a picnic basket?
No. They both met at a wildlife center, and they both were taking care of this one bear, and that's how the couple met. So the bear's getting all dressed up. He's getting, like, a bear tux, and he's going to be a guest of honor.
Does he get a little, like, unicycle and stuff, too?
I have no idea. All right, for your weather, today is a high of 62 and a 100% chance of rain, a low of 49 and a 90% chance of rain. Thursday, 64 is your high and 45 is your low, with a 10% chance of rain, so bring an umbrella anyway, because the weather doesn't care.
Did you say today was 100% chance of rain?
100% chance of rain.
Because it already rained?
Exactly. Yes! Yes. All right, and the Cubs route the Indians 9-3 and send World Series to the deciding game number 7, as Quirk told you this morning, and more updates on that tomorrow, or whenever this ends, because I don't know. All right, and for your traffic really quick, westbound I-9 Bellevue to Seattle will be reduced to one lane near Bellevue Way Southeast and then routed to express lanes from 11 p.m. Friday, November 4th to 5 a.m. Monday, November 7th. For more information, you can check out the Seattle Area Construction page. On I-5 northbound, just north of I-405, there's a disabled vehicle blocking the HOV lane. And as always, the traffic isn't that great going north or south on the 167 from Kent. Going from Kent to Auburn. So if you're trying to get to school this morning, have fun. You can listen to us, and we'll keep you entertained while you're stuck in traffic.
Excellent.
All right. I'll see you guys later. And this is your trivia champion, H. Quinn. Bye. Yes! I don't know how to sign off. Just yes! Bye.
Yes. Yeah, followed by Palisades coming up next. Just a quick reminder, we are in the midst of our fall pleasure up here at KGRG. And if you want to donate, you get cool stuff like the KGRG Sports Pack, which includes KGRG FM and KGRG 1 Sticker Pack, KGRG FM Patch, a KGRG FM Messenger Bag, and that one's brand new. Dave, do you know if we have those in yet?
Do we have backpacks?
Do we have backpacks?
We have backpacks.
We have backpacks.
We also have other stuff. And if you want to try and dethrone our champion, H. Quinn, come on up, donate $89.90, and you get the whole experience. You get to spend the show with us. Play some trivia, learn some words. Don't know what else.
You can tell me all the actors in all the movies I don't know.
Yeah, teach Cork some actors.
We'll be back after Fall of the Palisades. Sean listen
Connery
to the buzz.
And Connor, Jesus.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with the buzz.
Well, we figured it out, guys.
All right, let's try this again.
All right, time for a six-pack. Top six list of things that are awesome, not so awesome.
You know, we're supposed to be halfway through right now.
No.
Almost.
Second part's at 6 o'clock. Or 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Drugs.
One, two. Yep, there we go. It's six-pack. Things are awesome or not so awesome. Like Cork said, I'm just fitting while he gets something because we need it right now.
I'm so sorry that started off so weird. I have done a lot of drugs today.
If you want to help us keep this awesome programming on the airwaves, donate to our Fall Pledge Drive. We got cool stuff like our $65 KGRG grab bag, which includes your stickers, your patches, your listener tee, and your messenger bag. So you get your tee to put in your bag.
No.
Tee bags.
Wow. I just...
Phrasing!
What do you guys put your tee in?
I don't drink tea, so nothing.
Communist. So
tea already comes in bags.
So we got our top six list of things that are awesome this morning. Not too awesome. We're going the top six gruesome chainsaw murders because we're running on Halloween and
Halloween is over.
Hang on, I got the perfect bed music for this.
So we're going number six. This one's gonna be interesting.
Okay.
The Chainsaw Murder Suicide. In 2015, Christopher Peppelman slaughtered his wife with a chainsaw and then turned the power tool on himself. Nicole Peppelman, 43, was choked and stabbed, but then it was the chainsaw that killed her. Christopher, 48, died from a self-inflicted, gaping, sharp-forced wounds to his thigh and abdomen. Chainsaw suicide is rare, but not unheard of. The couple's 14-year-old son stumbled across the savage scene in their home in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. Investigators are uncertain of what caused Christopher's violence. Nicole filed for divorce in 2011, but had only come through earlier that year. She and her two sons were living with her parents. Friends reported that the couple had problems in the past, but nothing predicted this horrific occurrence. Their children are currently in the care of family members.
See, when you said murder-suicide and then you started with the name Chris, my mind went a whole nother direction because I don't remember a chainsaw in that one.
Yikes. We got number 5. The Chainsaw Professor. That's right. In 1987, a former Cal State Fresno professor murdered a male prostitute and dismembered him with a chainsaw. A Los Angeles Superior Court judge sentenced Max Bernard Frank, 58, to a maximum life or maximum time allowable. The victim, Tracy Newt, 18, was a Hollywood transient from Kansas City, Missouri. Newt's arms and parts of his legs were scattered around the McBean Parkway in Valencia. His head and torso were discovered 200 miles north in a field near Madrona? Sure. Authorities targeted Frank when he returned to a rented chainsaw with bits of blood and flesh and the inner workings. The public defender argued that another man, Terry Adams, committed the murder, and the dismemberment Adams never surfaced. The jury believed Frank acted alone. Frank taught political science at City University in New York and Boston University before arriving at Cal State Fresno in 1969. He died of a heart attack in prison in 1997.
I thought he would have taught chainsawology.
Right? Is this advanced chainsaw?
These are pretty creepy so far.
You know what?
Like, these are more creepy than what Danica was pulling up right before Halloween.
You know what? No lie. I was in one of my math classes in my first quarters here at Green River College. Somebody apparently was taking a chainsaw class. I'm not lying.
Like, I was in FFA and I never learned how to use a chainsaw, so.
Is that the 4-H club thing up here?
Similar to.
Okay.
Yeah, FFA and 4-H kind of going hand in hand. They're not the same thing, but they go hand in hand.
Oh, okay.
Then we got number 4. Beheaded best friend.
What?
Wow.
That's right. In 2011, police discovered the remains of Marlon Thomas, 35, in the weeds behind the Houston house. Later, a trash bag containing arms and a head was recovered from a crawl space. Nearby, they found the chainsaw. Cops was arrested. No Garanda Morin, 32, for the murder. Morin and Thomas were roommates and had been friends for over 20 years.
Wow.
Neighbors said Morin believed Thomas stole money and drugs from him.
Weekend of Bernie's 3 went really dark.
Right? Morin was convicted of the murder and sentenced to life. Prosecutors claimed that he shot Thomas and then used the chainsaw to dispose of the corpse. He first removed the arms and then decapitated the lifeless body. The remains were then scattered. Some made it into the trash bag under the house. Morin allegedly showed off the dismembered torso to neighbors, claiming, "This is what happens when someone steals from me." That just reminds me of the scene from Big Lebowski that I can't say on air.
I still blame Courtney Love for that.
Yikes! That is a part...
I'm speechless right now. Like, these are just horrific.
Yeah, they are.
Part one of the 6-pack of the most gruesome chainsaw murders on KJRG-FM, KJRG-FM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, HD7, Early Taps, 89.3 FM. Stay tuned for part 2 because nobody knows what's coming up next.
There's still 3 more and they're gruesomer.
Oh, you're listening to The Buzz.
And now, back to the 6-pack.
89.9 KJRG-FM, you're listening to The Buzz. We're in the middle of our 6-pack, our top 6 list of things that are awesome, sometimes not so awesome, and...
This is far
Boy,
from awesome.
Howdy, is this gruesome.
Well, then this music doesn't seem appropriate, does it?
No, it's perfectly appropriate.
I think you might need the Halloween theme. A little Michael Myers action.
Nah, this is funnier.
Just a reminder, we are in our 6-pack of the top 6 most gruesome chainsaw killings, because why the heck not on a Wednesday, right?
Can we just put the one you showed us off air just up as a like Twitter exclusive or something?
Oh, no, this is all going on.
No, the one you showed us.
Oh, no. We got number 6, chainsaw murder-suicide, where a dude killed his ex-wife and then himself. We had number 5, the chainsaw professor, who back in the 80s decided, you know what, time to teach advanced chainsaw to a prostitute.
Chainsawology.
And then we had number 4, the guy who beheaded his best friend because, you know what, you can never have too much of a good thing, and... If you have, like, more parts of your best friend, that means there's more of him to spread the love around with,
well,
right?
Well, he thought something happened. We don't even know if it really happened.
Allegedly.
This is what happens when you blank a stranger in the blank. All right, so time for number 3. And
is it?
Get ready to drop it. Like it's hot.
Drop the bass?
Number 3 is Chainsaws and Acid.
Sounds like the perfect weekend.
I just
investigators recovered 9 human teeth, pliers, and two electric saws near the remains of Triakitad. Near the remains of Triakitad in Florida wetlands in 2015. Her husband, Steve Williams, 30, passed a polygraph test before he confessed to Todd's murder. An airman in the U.S. Air Force, Williams pleaded guilty to a second-degree murder with a 35-year sentence in exchange for leading authorities to Todd's remains. Williams guided investigators to Hungryland Wildlife and Environmental Area. Todd's body was dismembered and dissolved in caustic acid before being irrited in a pre-dug grave. Teeth were found on a grassy embankment and gravel path. Sonar detected objects in the deep canal, and investigators sent in a dive team. The aquatic unit recovered a chainsaw and reciprocating saw. Williams had purchased both online in March before the slaying.
See, I had a completely different idea of what this was going to be. I was just thinking someone dropped acid and goes, look what I can do. Zzz.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Obviously, this. What year was this? When did this happen?
2011.
Wait. Okay, so he's seen...
Oh, no, 2015. This was last year.
Wait. Okay, so he's seen Breaking Bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'll say that was his inspiration with Breaking Bad.
I'm just confused on why acid's still a thing in 2015.
Because Breaking Bad, man.
All right, next one we got.
Uh-huh, number two.
Number two, because I can count. But apparently. I can't tell you who's in a movie. The Baby Butcher. In 2015, Chicago resident Manuela Rodriguez killed her seven-month-old granddaughter with a power saw. Rodriguez, 52, was babysitting young Rose Herrera when she made a phone call to her sister and confessed to the murder. Rodriguez beat, suffocated, and then sliced Rose's throat to get her to stop crying. She even tried to kill herself, but the emergency responders found Rose's lifeless body. The autopsy revealed that Rose died from a blunt force trauma to the side of her head. A sock was shoved in her throat, and deep cuts covered her neck, throat, and chest.
Jesus.
A pipe wrench and power saw were recovered from the apartment. The autopsy report showed that the power saw cuts had happened post-mortem. Perhaps she tried to cut up the baby for easy disposal.
This is just... I hate people.
Like, yeah.
The crazy part is you can see the mugshot, and I'll put the picture up on our Facebook and our Twitter for this lady. You can see where she tried to get herself in the neck. Like, there are staples.
Ugh.
They didn't just try to give her stitches. It was staples in her neck.
It is
gruesome.
I've seriously lost faith in humanity now with this crap. This is number two?
That's number two. Hopefully you aren't eating breakfast while we're reading these off. Yeesh.
Yeah, it's only breakfast time.
All right. And then we got number one. The local boy. Evicted executioner. That's right. In 2012, a Washington resident, Justin Morgan, killed his landlord. Skagit County Sheriff's discovered the body of Louis Arminima, 52, next to a chainsaw and bloodstained money. Daly, who lived in a trailer in Arminia's property, had been acting erratically leading up to the incident. Daly punched Arminia's days before slaying and beating up another neighbor in the mouth prior. Arminia ordered Daly to move out. Morgan confessed to clubbing him with a baseball bat, cutting his face with a chainsaw, and stabbing him with a nail. He claims Arminia tried to stab him first with a nail. When asked for a motive, Morgan replied that he was pissed off, quote-unquote. Despite the confession, Morgan later pleaded not guilty to murdering his landlord.
Hmm.
Wow.
You know that whole thing where when they they read you your rights, say anything you say can and will be used against you?
Yep.
You know, he pretty much confessed to it. That's not going to work out so well.
No.
What's crazy is, like, most of the other ones were, like, people dismembering other people. This guy just cut off his face.
That's still horrible.
So we got WTF Wednesday up next.
So, okay. Halloween is over.
That should be our last one of these.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that. And WTF Wednesday, thankfully, makes you laugh or just get creeped out, not sick to your stomach. Thanks, Cork.
You're welcome. We have Flicker Fade by Taking Back Sunday, 89.9 KJOG. You listen to the buzz.
Take it all back.
Well, Cody and Cambria on 89.9 KJOG FM. You listen to the buzz. And, yeah. How you doing, Dave?
I'm here.
Nice.
I think. Hang on. He requested a certain thing. There it is.
Only here as long as listeners support us, though.
Yeah, that is true.
And do you know how they can support us, Dave?
They can call us 253-833-5004 and pledge To donate to the KGRG Fall Pledge Drive.
That's right. You don't have to have the money right now. You just got to let us know that you want to give us money.
And then depending on which one you want, we can send you some stuff like a t-shirt, some stickers, a patch. I think it's only $25 this time around.
There's also a package with hoodies. So you can get
$10, you got $25, you got $40, $65, $89, $90. Depends on how fancy you feeling, girl.
Yep.
The $89.90, that's a good deal, too.
Treat yourself.
The stuff you get in the $89.90, just if you really love us.
Now, if they really love us, they'll come down to the campus and come find the KGRG tent.
That, too.
Ooh.
You can do that, too.
But it's time for WTF.
WTF Wednesday. My favorite part of Wednesdays.
I'm sorry. You like Wednesdays?
Because I get to do this segment. I love WTF Wednesdays.
So what do you got?
Well, okay, for you, if you're just now listening to WTF Wednesday, this is my thing, and I find some creepy news stories. Maybe they make you laugh. Maybe they just make you shudder. Maybe they make you skin crawl. Dave actually got a sneak peek of one of them.
Yeah.
This is going to be awesome.
I feel bad for it.
This is going to be awesome. All right, starting off, number one, this is coming out of Arizona. Meth.
I told you.
Found hidden in tortillas at the Nogales port.
That's good timing.
That is perfect timing. Customs offer. It's Nogales?
No, okay.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, Nogales.
Nogales. Okay, I said it wrong the first time.
Nogales, not Nogales.
They have Nogales there?
They have Nogales.
Oh, that's wrong.
They have Nogales even.
That's unfortunate.
They have less than Nogales.
Exactly.
That's bad. Customs officers at the port of entry found tortillas stuffed with something other than spicy carne asada on Friday. With the help of a drug-sniffing dog, agents at the Morley Crossing seized about 3 pounds of meth that had been hidden in stacks of tortillas being carried by a 62-year-old Nogales man.
Seems right.
The drugs and tortillas were seized, and the man was turned over to Immigration and Customs investigations. Earlier busts at the border include drugs being hidden in baby formula, burritos, tamales, and now we can throw just stacks of tortillas in there.
All right, Dave, listen. Stop giving Dave's a bad name. There's only one other one down there now. That's not in prison, I think.
And they have a picture. They've got a picture of it, too. Literally, a stack of tortillas. They just cut out the middle.
Arizona isn't a prison?
And they...
Fair. Next.
I thought you got on good behavior, Dave.
Oh, I did. I behaved real good down there. Real good.
A woman denied $43 million jackpot at a casino.
Oh, I heard about this one.
She was offered a...
What the...
Offered a steak dinner instead.
Yeah, I heard about this one.
Was it at least a good steak?
No, it's casino steak. Yeah, it's never good.
It was the selfie she thought was worth nearly $43 million. Katrina Bookman hit the jackpot on a slot machine late August at Resorts World Casino in Jamaica, Queens. She even took an excited selfie with the machine displaying her winnings, which was just under $43 million.
Yep.
It would have been the largest slot jackpot in U.S. history. I can't even describe... I can't even describe the feeling. It's like my whole body just got numb, she said, a CNN affiliate. But when she came back the next day to find out the exact size of her jackpot, a casino employee crushed her excitement.
And his name is John C.
Bravo.
I didn't know he was working in casinos.
Bravo.
He also dressed up as his girlfriend.
She said, so what did I win? He said, you didn't win nothing.
She won something because that's a double negative.
Well, the New York...
She just couldn't see it.
Not according to the New York State Gaming Commission. They said the Bookman's machine had malfunctioned, and the machine, like all the ones in the casino, had a disclaimer saying, malfunctions void all pays and plays. Instead, the casino offered her a complimentary steak dinner.
And I don't know how New York gambling laws work, but Nevada, they don't have to tell you what the malfunction is.
Oh, son of a bitch!
I think it says somewhere in the story... Well, it just says they immediately pulled the machine from the casino floor. It's up and running again. The commission said that by law, they can only award her actual winnings of $2.25, which was printed by the machine.
But what about, like, the plot of Ocean's 12, when, like, they just went around and made all the machines malfunction?
Okay, that's Ocean's 13, but I'm proud of you.
Whatever.
At least he got Ocean's right.
Yeah, he got Ocean's right.
Who was in that one?
No, they made it
Billy Ocean?
They made it look like it wasn't a malfunction. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They made it look like it wasn't, so they couldn't prove anything. But her lawyer is trying to get her the max afforded to the machine, which is $6,500. But I'm sitting there thinking, if you're paying an attorney to try to get you the max of something,
go like, for that $43 million.
Well, it's $6,500. That's what the max those are supposed to pay.
Oh,
is $6,500. That's going to take her attorney fees are going to pretty much take up all of that.
Yeah, there's no point in that.
Might as well just take in the dinner. Although that is unfortunate.
Yeah, but it's a casino steak, and yeah, unless it's like a specialty restaurant type thing, that's like a gourmet type room. No.
Yeah, not a casino, not a casino steak.
No, thank you.
I'll take crab legs, though.
So are we at this one now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Corey, have your finger ready. Ecosexuals believe having sex with the earth could save it.
That makes it worse.
What the? Hey, phrase it.
Because you said finger. Right?
Yeah, I did say that.
Woo!
If you haven't... If you happen to find yourself in Sydney this week, you have the unique opportunity to have sex with the earth. You just need to stop by the Ecosexual Bathhouse, which is currently part of the Sydney Liveworks Festival of Experimental Art.
The what?
Drink it in.
No! 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 Do not sully Jericho like that. And excuse me, the what house?
The Sydney Liveworks Festival of Experimental Art.
Woo! Oh, no. I thought you said Ecosexual House.
Well, no, it's
right next to Animal House.
It's
between Animal House and Robot House.
No,
phrasing.
You're right. No, it is the Ecosexual Bathhouse, which is currently part of the Sydney Liveworks Festival of Experimental Art.
That better not be next to an Animal House.
It's located in Eatonville.
The Bathhouse is an interactive installation created by artists Lorraine Crowmeyer and Ian Sinclair of Pony Express, who expressed the work as a no-holds-barred extravaganza meant to dissolve the barriers between species as we descend into oblivion as the result of our global environmental crisis. But they also see their piece as part of a much larger ecosexual movement, which they say is gathering momentum around the world.
I don't feel good about this, but... So they're basically wanting us to plant our seeds.
Oh, my...
I told you I don't feel good about it, okay?
Here's the you ready for the best part here?
There's another best part?
The movement's growing prominence owes much to the efforts of the Bay Area performance artists, activists, and couple Annie Sprinkle and Elizabeth Stevens, who have made ecosexuality a personal crusade. They have published an ecosex manifesto on their website, Sex Ecology, and produced several films on the theme, including a documentary.
Good job, guys.
Goodbye, Golly Mountain, an ecosexual love story, which depicts the polyamorous relationship between them and the Appalachian Mountains.
Gives a whole new term to the whole new meaning to the term tree hugger.
Phrasing, yeah.
Well, does that mean everybody who participates has an Oedipus complex?
Because Mother Earth.
At last year's also part of the same story.
You don't deserve that.
At last year's San Francisco Pride Parade, they led a contingent of over 100 ecosexuals in a ribbon-cutting ceremony to officially add an E to the LGBTQI acronym.
This deserves the Lidl's.
they believe that there are now at least 100,000 people around the world who openly identify as ecosexuals.
That was WTF Wednesday.
Next we got Don't Want to Know.
I feel we need I feel we need another WTF on that.
What the f***?
Thank you.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Thank you.
Drink it in, man.
No!
Drink it
in.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is sponsored by the Jet City Comic Show. We're coming to the Tacoma Convention Center November 5th and 6th for ticket information and guest announcements. They also have panels going to be there. Visit JetCityComicShow.com. That's JetCityComicShow.com.
Yes!
So it's time for news.
Yeah.
RIP our newsreader, man.
Yeah, we haven't seen her in, like, what, 3 weeks now?
It's been a hot minute.
It has.
But
kind of worried.
Yeah.
Kind of. Just a tad.
Maybe she ended up at the Hanford site.
The what?
The Hanford Hazardous Plutonium Plant up here in Washington State.
Let's hope not.
Does Homer Simpson work there?
No, but demolition has actually started to begin on the Hazardous Plutonium Plant.
So the Tri-City Herald reports that the crew started tearing down the plutonium reclamation facility on Tuesday. Demolition comes after 20 years of work to clean out the entire plutonium finishing plant, which is one of Hanford's most hazardous buildings. Several buildings in the plant complex have been torn down in recent years, but the attached 22,000-square-foot reclamation facility has remained standing. The plant operated from 1948 to 1989, processing nearly two-thirds of the nation's plutonium. Project director Tom Tanor says crews are monitoring for radiation during demolition to maintain safety. The Department of Energy faces a revised legal deadline to have the entire plant torn down to slab on grade by September 2017. This is a big deal because, like,
there was a fight over this recently, wasn't there? Like,
well, it wasn't that there were leaks.
Oh yeah, that's what it was.
It was leaking,
yeah,
radiation into the water, and this is up here in Washington.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I know that a lot of this leftover stuff is going to end up over at Yucca Mountain in Nevada, I believe.
Yeah, so. there was something about the, I think it was toxic waste.
Exactly
being stored north of Vegas in the Yucca Mountains, I want to say it was.
Yep.
I think that got defeated. I don't remember hearing anything else about it. So.
Well, the Raiders are going to be playing there soon anyway, so that's kind of toxic waste.
There's nuclear waste right there.
I mean.
Next news story we got, Kenmore Art Project aims to soften cement city image.
Oh.
The city of Kenmore lives in the shadow of Seattle, about 10 miles north. Kenmore is a commuter town along busy Highway 522 that connects Seattle with I-405 in the east side. Kenmore skyline consists of a concrete plant. Its space needle is the plant's three 80-foot-tall silos that loom over Highway 522.
Hmm.
The concrete company Cal Portland has given permission for the project. Organizers are putting out a call to artists interested in taking part. The theme is land, lake, and air. Organizers are trying to raise about $16,000 to pay for it all. More information is available on the group's GoFundMe page. So the plan is to wrap some sort of artwork around these giant concrete cylinders so it doesn't just look like garbage.
Oh, okay.
I know this is something they do in Graham, actually. And it looks really nice. It doesn't have this theme, but it looks like...
it's visually appealing.
It looks like trees. So like they did the evergreen trees just painted around the silo thing. So that when you're driving by, you really can't tell it's there unless you're at a stoplight and you're just staring at it.
So where I was staying in across the river in Nevada, they did this, quote, beautification thing with those, those like power transformer box things that are on the ground?
Yeah.
They painted those all different colors
to
make them look pretty.
There's a weird trend in Tacoma where they're like knitting bike lock cozies.
Yeah, yeah. I heard about that too. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
They look nice, I guess, but I can only imagine what happens to it when it gets wet.
Yeah.
Last news story I got. Bike blogger bashes waterfront plans for being car-centric up here in Seattle.
Mm.
The City of Seattle's Office of the Waterfront released its 328-page report Monday unveiling plans for a new Alaska Wave project, including pedestrian bicycle pathways, but not everyone was excited about the new waterfront, which includes an 8-lane stretch of Alaskan Way that'll be built between Pioneer Square and the waterfront. Tom Focolaro, the cyclist behind the Seattle bike blog, slammed the plans on Twitter. Quote, "It's the scariest thing I saw on Halloween. It should be people first." They basically declared that they want to prioritize the movement of cars over the experience of having a good waterfront that people want. So... Hmm. What I have to say about this? Cars are more important than people. I'm sorry. Like, moving commerce back and forth is more important than having a place to walk. Especially in downtown Seattle where... I'm sorry. Traffic is garbage as it is.
It is. Yeah. I had to go to my job yesterday up in Seattle, my newly acquired one, and I left the house at 7:45 in the morning. I didn't park until 9:53. I had to be there by 10.
But Dave, he is a bicyclist, Dave.
Stay out of the way.
Right? I'm sorry, man. Bicyclists don't belong in the road either.
They don't belong on the sidewalk, though, either, because walking pedestrians...
There are bike lanes!
There are.
So,
I was about to say, that's the whole purpose of a bike lane.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing that irritates me is sometimes the bike lanes get integrated into the actual lane.
That I don't like or get.
No, that's dangerous for the bike riders and the people driving. If I'm driving late at night and some yahoo's on their bicycle and it's wet outside,
mm-hmm.
I get wind in the or rain on the windshield. Man, it's hard enough as it is to see at night.
Well, cars should also be supposed to share the road.
They should also be. I'm just going to say this because I like cycling too.
Mm-hmm.
But I have lights and stuff on my bike.
Yeah, you're smart.
For that purpose, like if I'm riding at night and there's not a bike lane for me to ride on, I make sure I have those lights on.
So you
can see me.
See, you're one of the smart ones. Thank you for that.
Well,
there are a bunch of them that don't do that.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've almost hit people.
But have you guys ever driven on the Alaska Way Viaduct?
Yeah, no. Unfortunately.
Yeah, so it is a place meant for cars as it is. The fact that they're expanding it at all for pedestrians or people to have a place for them to be, it's a plus.
Every other day.
You're getting a spot.
Yeah, every day or every other day you're going to hear pedestrian hit on the Alaska Way Viaduct. Oh, bike hit on the Alaska Way Viaduct. You're going to hear that every time. Do not do this.
There are times where the Susan G. Coleman Race for a Cure.
Yeah.
They shut down the Alaska Way Viaduct.
Yeah. So I get it's for the Cure, and I have my opinions about that particular foundation, but that just snarls up everything else. People have jobs to get to. People have lives.
Exactly. So my opinion on this is that the city of Seattle is giving people a place to be, but road should be for cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're
agreed.
They're revamping Seattle to make it more car friendly, which is a plus. Hopefully it works out.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's been through downtown Seattle knows that place is not fun.
So have you got news stories real quick?
I got a couple of sports stories. Actually, we'll just rehash the ones from earlier because one important thing that I forgot to talk about in the Cubs victory last night. Actually happened last week in the World Series. Francisco Lindor, you want to know that name, you want to thank that man however you can, because he got us free tacos today.
Right.
He did.
By stealing a base in the first game of the World Series, Taco Bell, between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. today, is giving away free Doritos Locos Tacos of the flavor of your choosing.
It's just one, though, right?
It's just one.
Just one per customer.
Just Juan Taco.
But you don't need to buy anything to get it. You can just go and say, hey, I want a free taco.
Also, this is just between us and you. Go to multiple Taco Bells.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Go to multiple Taco Bells.
But no, do you have to buy something to get the taco?
It does say no purchase necessary on the little fine print thing at the bottom. I made sure of that.
All right, good.
Awesome. So, but the World Series is going to conclude one way or the other tonight, as the Cubs woke up last night winning 9-3.
But Dave, what if it ends in a tie?
We are not doing this. This is baseball.
You want to bet on it, Dave?
Baseball does not. It's the World Series. Baseball does not end in a tie, especially in the
World
Series.
Easy, Pete Rose. Easy. But the Indians shot themselves in the foot many times last night with their fielding.
They look like Major League.
It was straight out of the movie. Naquin, I'm surprised, didn't kill somebody last night. So, I don't know if you watched the game or not, Corey. I know you did, Tommy. The first inning,
I missed the first inning, though. It was a little. When I turned on the game, it was 3-0,
mm-hmm.
and then the grand slam happened, and so it became 7-0. I was like, well, we're going to game 7.
So, first inning, two runners on. I think there was two out. Routine pop fly into right center. Naquin and Chisenhall, the center fielder and right fielder for the Indians, run at it. Then they both just kind of back off, and then the ball drops between them.
Major League.
So, you could say they really dropped the ball.
You don't deserve that.
Nah, that was that was unearned.
But Addison Russell did hit a grand slam in the fourth, as Tommy said, put up 7-0 at the time. Ended up 9-3. Last time a team came back to win the World Series after being down 3-1 was the '85 Royals. So it'll be the first time in 31 years since that happened.
Ronald Reagan was still in office. We'll just put it that way. Last time that's happened.
And speaking of ties. 1997 was the last time there were two ties in the NFL. The Indians also lost the World Series that year to the Marlins in 7 games in the worst way possible because they were leading in the 9th inning of that game. Marlins came back and tied it and then won in extra innings.
Oh, son of a bitch!
And that right there is a little segue. You brought up the NFL. In NFL news, Vikings offensive coordinator...
Oh, yeah.
Vikings offensive coordinator Norv Turner has announced his resignation.
Yep. I would, too, after losing to the Bears. I'm going to NFL football.
Yeah, that wasn't his fault.
Maybe he should set higher goals.
It wasn't his fault. What?
Maybe he should set higher goals.
They were annihilating people. The Vikings were playing great.
They were.
Set your goals.
They had a bad game, and suddenly he resigns.
89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Are we?
Certainly has been a day to remember on 89.9 KGRG FM.
It has.
boy howdy. If you want more memories to come, no, why don't you just donate to our Fall Pledge Drive?
Yeah.
Should do that. That's a good, it's good. One, it's a good cause. And two, you get swag for it.
If you want to know how to do that, again, that's the brand new KJRG.com. If you click the donate tab, or along the right-hand side of the screen there, there should be a bunch of the flashing banners that say, support your local college radio, and donate, and it flashes at you.
Is pizza still the essence of life, though?
Oh, yeah. Like, our award-winning webmaster has done quite the job making sure that it is quite, like, super easy just to click and donate.
It's a pretty sweet so, new website, too.
If you don't want to have to call 253-833-5004 and you want to pay with your credit card and just get out of the way right then and there, that's KJRG.com, KJRG.com to donate to the KJRG Fall Pledge Drive. And we have our entire list of stuff that you can donate and get because we give you stuff on top of a tax deductible donation.
I was just about to bring that up. It's tax deductible. That means you can put it on your taxes and you get that money back, basically.
So
you're doing two good things.
That stuff includes the fan pack, the $25 tea pack, the $40 premium sports pack, $65 grab bag, and the $89.90 ultimate KJRG FM listener experience where you get to come up and hang out with us.
Which I think someone's taking advantage of that already. I thought I saw that coming up on Saturday with the King.
Yeah, man.
Right after Tommy J.
But we got really awesome
stuff.
That's like
super. He's Super Steve now.
Oh, Super Steve.
Super Steve.
We got really awesome stuff like the KJRG Messenger bag, and that thing is sweet.
Yeah, we got the backpacks
like,
now.
This wasn't just us picking, or just somebody saying, just one person getting the thing. This was an entire group effort. The entire KJRG staff voted on this bag, so it's a gnarly bag.
It was pretty unanimous, too, if I remember correctly.
Oh, it was.
It was a unanimous vote. We're like, yeah, we like that one.
But it is time. Do you know what time it is, Cork? I mean, I'm seriously asking because you didn't know what time or what number it was earlier.
Jim Belushi?
Name a movie that Jim Belushi has been in.
Jim Belushi's autobiography, written by Jim Belushi.
You should watch The Principal. Principal's an awesome movie. Based on a true story, too. With Jim Belushi and Louis Agassi Jr. You know who Louis Agassi Jr. is, Cork?
He was played by...
No, Louis Garza Jr. is an actor.
He's an actor.
Played by...
Let's just get out of here.
I'm just going to reach through the glass and smack you.
Played by John Williams?
Whoa! John Williams is a composer. Come on now.
John Wayne. So long, pilgrims.
I'm done.
Actually fitting. Farewell, pilgrims.
We're not. It's not Thanksgiving yet.
Alvinus and goodbye, pilgrims.
Goodbye, pilgrims.
You guys are horrible.
Until tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. at 89.9 KJRG FM.
Should we tease what we're doing away tomorrow in the package?
I don't know.
It's Dave's package. They already know there's good stuff. Good stuff comes in Dave's package.
Yeah, but it's going to be your final chance to win Jet City Comics Show two-day passes. It's going to be the first crack at our mystery show that we haven't even talked about yet.
It's a mystery.
What?
All we know is Cam's a fan of them because he wears their colors and plays for the team that they're talking about in the band. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on right now.
I don't either.
But I'll tell you what.
Find out tomorrow.
Right now. Oh. I am going to toss in one of the KJRG Messenger bags.
Ooh. Wait, we could do that?
I'm tossing one in.
Tomorrow for the package.
I am putting in my own money on this one. Toss it
really?
Down.
Wow.
This is how much we love you.
Or at least I don't even have one of these bags yet.
No, I don't either.
You're nicer than I am.
Yeah.
So we're tossing in one of those bags.
They're already
man.
Getting a pretty sweet deal getting Dave's package. So now you got part of Corey's package, too.
you have to have something to toss in that sweet merch in.
You
right?
do, yeah, that's true.
So there you go.
Holding all those tickets and whatever else you need to tote around.
So what you're saying is listen tomorrow for your chance to win Dave and Corey's package.
7:20 a.m., bright and early.
Yep, listen for the cue to call. But until then, we out. Be good humans, better than us. It's not really that hard.
Bye, Felicia.
Just don't murder anybody with a chainsaw, God.
Just why?